Yeah, you can give them a hand. They did a great job on that video. Okay, here's why I'm carrying this bag. We all carry baggage. All of us. It's not something that we naturally talk about. It's not something that we like to open up about a lot. But we do. The truth is, rather than talking about it, what we try to do is we try to create the image, the perception around us that makes it look like we don't carry baggage. You know, all those other broken people, oh man, poor them, but not us, all the while, and it's easy for other people to see generally, we're carrying baggage. And I have to tell you, I see myself a little bit too much in the mirror of that video. That, you know, I told our video team, and I appreciate their creativity in helping us tell the truth and show God's love and create the narrative, but I really didn't like that video because it was a little too real. I said, can't you be more abstract so none of us have to deal with our own reality, right? I see myself all the way through that video. Me, 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 me. Could you see yourself at all? If you couldn't, I'll give you a moment, you can leave. You people scare us to death, is the truth. I mean, if you can't see yourself in that. What's so sad about the reality of the baggage that we carry is that Jesus came to set us free from that very baggage. Look at how he inspired Paul to say in Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm in that freedom and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He came to set us free. And what's sad is that very often, and remember I've already included myself, very often we're sitting here singing songs of worship to Jesus who set us free, all the while holding on to our baggage. Listening to his truth, which is meant to help us to experience the freedom he came to give us, but all the while clutching our baggage everywhere we go. And you need to know that sadly, it describes the majority of us, almost always. And so this series, aptly called Baggage, is through prayer and design and study to try and help support each and every one of us find in our lives his truth, apply it to our reality and the baggage we carry, and perhaps make the choice to experience Jesus' gift of freedom, because it's for freedom Jesus has come to set us free. Now, the truth is there are a lot of reasons for baggage. You know, the baggage I carry looks different than the baggage you carry. You can see it. I mean, all the suitcases are different. Some of you have those cute little pink things on the handle so you can identify them, and some of you, we all have different baggage, but there are some umbrella issues that all of us can experience that, yeah, that's me. That's me. And I wanted to kick this series off, which is going to last the month of May, by dealing with one of those umbrella baggages that we carry. It's a big one. All of us have experienced it in different ways, and it's just one word, hurt. Hurts. Every single one of us has experienced the pain, the agony, the disappointment, the despondency of hurts. In fact, many of us are held hostage to our hurts. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. Don't be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. And yet, guess what? We're carrying our baggage. And much of it comes from hurts. So what I thought I'd do is just start first with some realities that will help each of us kind of identify, yeah, I have it too, and then we can process through what we can do about it, how we can lay it down. The first reality, and you need to know it, bad news, is that life comes with hurts included. I know when you go to the store, almost always the toy says, batteries not included, right? And I wish I could tell you, oh, some of us have been given life where hurts aren't included. It's not true. Now, it is true. Some people's hurts are far more obvious than others. Some are seemingly way more devastating than others. Let's be honest about that. But just know, all of us experience hurts, the pain of hurts. None of us can understand the hurts of others from the outside looking in, but life comes with hurts included. I love how the Bible's honest about this. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The length of our days, let's say it's 70 years or 80 if we have the strength to live that long. Yet here's the reality that defines them all. Their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. We all experience hurts. They come included in life. Hurts can be physical, hurts can be emotional, hurts can be spiritual, hurts can be relational, but hurts are real, and they're part of the baggage that we carry in life. The truth is that hurts can be caused by ourselves. If I'm honest, most of my deepest wounds weren't caused by others. Most of my deepest wounds were caused by myself, the choices I made. Can you relate to that? I like to blame others, but it's often myself. But hurts can be delivered through others, where no fault of our own, people betray us, break promises. But the reality is, it's not even always ourselves or others. Do you know, sometimes hurts are just part of the unpredictable and uncontrollable parts of life, changing circumstances. There's a bumper sticker, and I'd love to use it in this case, but I'm in church, and I'm a pastor, and some of you are guests, you know, and others of you wouldn't come again if I shared the bumper sticker, so I'm not going to share the bumper sticker, but I am going to share the bumper sticker with a different word and let you think of the real bumper sticker so that you can carry just a little bit more baggage out of Northridge after you leave, okay? So, and here's the bumper sticker, my version of it. Stuff happens. Sometimes it's not my fault, another person's fault. Circumstances have converged on me. Stuff happens, and it hurts. Hurts are included in life. And another reality, our best attempts to free ourselves from hurt, because no one likes to sit in hurts. It's not what we do. Our best attempts to free ourselves from hurts leave us in greater bondage to them. So the very thing that Jesus says, I've come to set you free, I don't want you to be burdened again with the yoke of bondage, but the way we go about trying to deliver ourselves from hurts puts us in greater bondage to them. And I tell you, I don't purposely try to expand the hurt in my life. That's not my deal. But yet I do it by choosing to try and get past my hurts in the wrong ways, feeling like it's the right way, and it just devastates me even more. Bible talks a lot about this idea. One place, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that appears to be right, and this is where I am. Man, this is how I can get out of this hurt. This is how I can free myself from the pain. This is what I'll do to get past it. But in the end, it leads to death. Same thing happens to you. It's just the way life is. By nature, we tend to deal with life's hurts in a way that brings about the exact opposite result to what we're seeking in our lives. Our natural attempt is to minimize our hurts, but it almost always maximizes them. And the neat thing about the Bible is that it's a real book. It's not one of these things that plays make-believe about humanity. It tells the truth. And God's given us a beautiful picture of this in many lives, but one I want to share with you is the example of David. Now, David's often known as a hero. He's the one that stood against Goliath and took him down by faith. You know, King David, awesome guy, man after God's own heart. But the reality is, David was a human being, flawed like me, flawed like you, and man, did he have a lot of baggage. And he went about trying to deliver himself in the wrong way, and it even made it worse. Now with David, he brought some of the hurts on himself, some of the hurts were delivered by others, and some were just the convergence of stuff happening. But more often than not, like us, it was how he tried to deal with his hurts that ultimately destroyed him. And I think we can learn from that. I know I can. So let me just share some angles. One thing David did to try and deliver himself from hurts, and it made it worse, is he attempted to deny, literally deny his hurts. And this is where we both, you know, start with denial. And you know the stupid joke, right? Something that an old guy should say, and I'm not talking about a river in Egypt. You know, I mean, it's like denial, really popular thing. And that's where we start. If I can just deny it, I'll do it. Deny, deny, deny. And that's what David did, Psalm 32:3. When I kept silent, when I denied it, it just enlarged in my life and started destroying me. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. It only makes it worse. Have you ever denied? I have. He also, trying to deliver himself, made things worse by fantasizing about running away from his hurts. Dreaming of ways to escape them and to run beyond them. And creative people definitely do this. He was one. Look at Psalm 55. My heart is in anguish within me. Man, I'm just in pain. And so he starts fantasizing. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. And you might go, get it. What? Listen, I do this all the time. I dream of all the ways that I can get past this stuff without really dealing it. That's where he was. And it just makes it worse. I would bet money you do it. Not that I really bet money. Trying to avoid emails this week. as you think, I just have a little baggage. Trying to deal with it. All right. As you think about your life, let me ask you, is it possible that some or a lot of your activity in life is simply an attempt to escape or run away from life's hurts? If so, you need to realize that none of us are fast enough to stay in front of the hurts. We can't do it. And ultimately, we only hurt ourselves even more by running. And I'm talking about what are some ways we try and do it through work, through this relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship, through some of the addictive aspects of life that we have, through spirituality and religion, trying to just run away. But you know, the more we run, the worse it gets. It's kind of like quicksand. When you attempt to run away, you just sink deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's exactly what happens with us. Another thing David did wrong that I can relate with, sadly, is that he sought to hide his hurts. When he could no longer deny them, you know, couldn't fantasize about ways to get away from them, he sought to hide his hurts. You know, I already said this. We create a perception, an image around us that makes it look like we're not carrying baggage at all. Look at David did it, Psalm 39, starting in verse 2. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased in me. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned, and then I finally spoke with my tongue. The thing is, he was trying to hide it. Pretend that it wasn't real, not me, no, I'm fine, and all that stuff. He didn't want anyone to know that he was hurting. And even though he was in the valley, he wanted people to think he was on the mountaintop. And though this is a very strange way to approach pain, it's a very natural one. We all do it. It's about image over reality. And here's the idea, is that if people think well of us, then hey, we'll feel better about ourselves. If you look at me with these eyes of respect, maybe I'll feel more respect for myself. So we create these images. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work. And yet, we've all been there. We've all tried. So could I ask, could it be this weekend that you have everyone around you convinced that you're on the mountaintop, but in reality, you're in a very deep, dark valley? Could it be? Whew. Isn't it amazing how many seemingly perfect marriages break up? They were never perfect. These people were creating the perception. Isn't it amazing how many people who seem to be so much better than the rest of us fall apart and break down? They're not better than us. They've just been hiding more. It never works. Can I tell you, and I hope you'll process this, the greatest bondage in the world is found in having to live up to something you're not. It's destructive. You wonder why so many pastors surprisingly fall? Because they pretended they were something they weren't, and the gravity of it finally became too much. Which is why I just get up and cuss in front of you, tell the truth, I'm a mess. It's like, no pretending here. A little bit of hyperbole there, but it's true. Doesn't work. The greatest freedom in the world is not found in hiding. The greatest freedom in the world is found in being honest, because it's for freedom that Jesus came. We have to be honest. We have to make the right choices. You know another thing David did wrong? I do. He worried about his hurts. Look at how he says it. Psalm 52:5-2. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. I mean, it was an agony and silence all the way inside. Man, it just never gets you anywhere. What does worrying about your hurts do to relieve you of your hurts? Nothing. In fact, the result is your hurts become larger, because the more you focus on them, the bigger they get. It's like you've got a zoom lens on your hurts, you know? Another thing he did that I can relate to is he allowed his hurts to ultimately define him. I need to tell you something. Your hurts are not you. But too often, by hiding, by denying, by running, all this stuff that we do, we start seeing ourselves as our hurts. It defines who we are. And it's wrong. Look at how David said it in Psalm 38. I am feeble and utterly crushed. God says he's a man after his own heart. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me. Of course they do, because this is who I am. Because my wounds, my neighbors stay far away. He allowed his hurts to define him, and so do we. And so that's why I thought that video was so strong. I mean, the guy didn't know how to live without his hurts. Nor do we. It's just so natural. I want you to realize none of his choices changed the past hurts in his life. But you know what his choices did? They ruined the present day of his life. And that's what happens to us. But we can make a different choice. And so there's no way to give good news until we know what the bad news is. And so we know what the bad news is about baggage and hurts, but now we need the good news. And it comes right from the same guy, from David. David ultimately chose to let God set him free from his hurts. This one who hid and denied and ran and all this other stuff, he ultimately chose to let God free him from his hurts. What he did was he made the different choice. And the problem is, too many of us are so holding on to our baggage, we won't let it go. But we can, we need to, and David did. And he shows us how. Here's how he got from where we are naturally to where he experienced life without his baggage. He got there first by never giving up on God. He never gave up on God. As human beings, it's almost the starting place for us. You know people in your life, in all different walks of life, from all different backgrounds and experiences, who've given up on God. We're living in a world where data can show us tons of people are walking away from the God thing. I'm not talking about church, just. I'm talking about God. They're giving up on him. It's a failed experience in their mind. They're not going to pursue that anymore because they hurt. The problem, though, isn't God. The problem is they keep trying to deal with their hurts their own way and claim God's promises of freedom, and they don't experience it. David, who's just like us, the one thing he did right was he never gave up on God. Look at how he said it in Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths of my pain, I cry to you, O Lord. It's one of the things I love about the Psalms. Guys like David, they'd write, the world's horrible, you don't answer my prayers, where are your promises, the sun's not coming out tomorrow, I'm like the character in Charlie Brown with the cloud over their head following them around, life's nothing like what you said, and then at the very end they go, but I'll always praise you, you're awesome. It's like, what? What's going on? I almost said a word that would have proved that, you know, I'm normal. It's like, what's going on? He never gave up on God. No matter how bad it got. And because of that, David ultimately realized that God was bigger than his trouble, bigger than his hurts. And I want to encourage you this weekend. God's bigger than your pain. He is. Don't give up on him. How did David get there to where he made the different choice and laid it down? He acknowledged his hurts to God. What do we naturally do? Hide them, deny them, you know, create the perceptions to not run from them. But he ultimately did the opposite, made the choice to acknowledge his hurts to God. Here's how he says it, Psalm 32. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. We've already seen that. But then what did he do? Then I acknowledged my sin. Sin, his self-motivated, his self-delivered hurt, where he walked away from God. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, and you forgave the guilt of my horrible choices, my sin. He acknowledged it. It's not natural. It's not what we want to do. But the only way we can lay our baggage down is by acknowledging our hurts to God. And the last thing he did to make the choice, he turned to and trusted God with his hurts instead of turning to and trusting his own devices. The whole reason I started this conversation out by saying, here's the way we normally handle it, is because that's the way we really normally handle it. But Jesus has made it possible for us to be set free. But in order to be there, we have to make the different choice. Stop trusting ourselves and start trusting him with our pain. Look at what he said in Psalm 142. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell all my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you, God, who know the way I should go. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. In the early days of his life, he couldn't say, they're too strong for me. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. It messed up everything. And then he got to the place where he said, they're too strong for me. I need to trust you. What we're doing here this weekend is we're asking you to identify the reality that, like with all of us, you carry baggage. And it's ruining your life. It's hurting your life. It's destroying your life. It is not the right way to go. And you, by nature, like all of us, have been trying to deal with it in the wrong way. But we want you to finally do what David did, make a different choice and lay him down. So he laid down his baggage. But it wasn't easy. And if we're going to lay down our baggage, we have to know it's not easy. And so we thought, okay, now that we know that it's possible, What's it look like? What's it feel like? So we decided we'd paint a picture for you of what it might be like for you if you were to consider laying down your baggage. What might happen to you? Can you really do it? And so we want you to contemplate, we want you to watch, we want to identify yourself as we paint this picture. But the goal is to get you, like David, to finally lay it down.
Bring your worry, grief, and pain. Every cause you have for shame, lay it all down. Lay it all down. When your cares have buried you, and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down. Lay it all down. At the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. Your heart's tied, fear the worst and felt the fire. Lay it all down, lay it all down. Filled with all those anxious thoughts, all your doubts became your God. Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down,
lay it all down,
lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all. What we can't explain, and there's nothing here that can ease the pain. Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus.
Oh,
I don't know about for you, but for me, that picture is so emotional. Because it's so real. I mean, yeah, there are some people who come and just lay their burdens down and walk away, and they never see themselves through those burdens again. But that's not everybody. I don't know if you noticed, there were some people who came and laid their burdens down and then came back and picked them back up. Man, I know that one. That's why Jesus says, it's for freedom I've set you free. Don't be burdened again with your yoke of bondage. I've delivered you from it, but we can still see ourselves through it. And then, man, the last one with that couple, where the husband put his burden down and she just wouldn't let go of it, which is where most people are. What you need to know is holding on to your hurts solves nothing, which is why Jesus came. Might be one of my favorite crosses ever. We've made a cross out of baggage. Why? Because that's what the cross was for Jesus to take all of our baggage on himself and deliver us from it. But the only way we get delivered is by never giving up on God, acknowledging our hurt, our sin, our guilt to him, and then turning to him and trusting him by laying our baggage down at the foot of the cross. Have you done it? Here's the truth you need to know. Jesus can set us free from our hurts. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You're free. Nothing can make those define you anymore, but you can still define yourself through them, which is where so many of us are. So the application, we learned it from David. We need to do it ourselves. We need to, if we're going to lay it down at the foot of the cross, we need to focus on Jesus rather than focusing on our hurts. But rather we sit at the diner and eat looking at our hurts and focused on them. We sleep focusing on our hurts. We wake up focusing on our hurts. We drive focusing on our hurts. We walk our dog focusing on our hurts. All of life, which is why all we do is hurt. But when we make the choice to lay it down at the foot of the cross and focus on Jesus, he sets us free. John 16:33, these things I have said unto you, Jesus said, that in me you can have peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Life comes with hurts included. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know who the people with cheer are? The people focusing on Jesus. Which explains most of our problems. We're not. And so before we celebrate communion, I just want to give you a moment to reflect, to focus on him, to be honest with yourself about your baggage. So would you bow with me in a word of prayer wherever you are? Those at Brighton, those here in Plymouth, those of you online, would you just kind of bow in a word of prayer? And for those of you who are followers of Jesus, yes, if you've taken your baggage and laid it down at the cross, you've given him your sin, it's forgiven and you've been set free, but it doesn't mean you're not still carrying the baggage. You need to focus on Jesus again. And there are some of you, while others are praying already, that you've never, ever taken your hurts, your pain, your sin, and laid it down at the foot of the cross. Why not do it now? In fact, just pray with me with these words. Make them your own. Just say, Jesus, I've been carrying the weight of my sin, my guilt, my pain. But I believe that you came to take it from me, to forgive me, to bear my burdens for me. And so I'm acknowledging my guilt, my hurt, my pain, my sin, and I'm laying it down at your cross. trusting you and asking you to forgive me and save me and make me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed with me, we'd love to give you some ideas and support and moving forward. We're not going to obnoxiously come into your life. We'd love to give you a book of the Bible in journal form, ideas for how you can build your relationship with God and how we might support that. We just need to know you prayed with me. All you have to do is text us. One word, Northridge. That's the message to 31616. We'll send you a link. You fill that out, get it back to us, and we'll send you that information. But for all of us now, what we want to do is we want to focus on Jesus instead of our hurts. We want to lay it down. And you know what the perfect way to do that is? Communion. Jesus gave us one word as the purpose for communion. Remember. My problem isn't that Jesus hasn't set me free. My problem is that I forget. And so I live my life through my weakness and through my failures and through my bad choices, and I define myself like that, and I live to deny it and hide it, and so do you, carrying my burden. But all the while, if I focus on Jesus, what happens? Oh, I remember I'm free. That's what communion is. He gave us the bread to remind us of his body. He gave us the juice to remind us of his blood that was shed to forgive us of our sins. And so, by eating and drinking, we remember. But here's what I want to say. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, then you have nothing to remember but your hurts. And at any moment, you can put your faith in Jesus. But if you haven't, then communion's not for you, because this is for people who can remember when by faith they receive Jesus. There's no judgment at Northridge, so if you don't know him or you're not walking with him, it's okay not to take. But if you are walking with him and if you do know him, we want you to remember. And so you'll take the bread and the juice. We'll do it together. But first, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this moment when we can remember that it's for freedom you've set us free. And we can turn our focus back to you. And so through communion, we now remember. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we take the bread and eat it in remembrance of him. And we drink the juice in remembrance of him. And in remembering, we lay the baggage down and we walk in freedom. And you know what the great response is to that? Worship, celebration. And so that's what we're going to do, but we're going to add a component. This weekend, as we worship, we're also going to be baptizing. This weekend alone, over 100 people are being baptized at Northridge Church. It's an awesome thing. And if you're a guest at Northridge, we do it in a unique way. We worship God because he's the only one that can make life change possible. But we also celebrate the people who are laying it down and following him in baptism. And so you're going to, it's weird, we'll be singing worship songs, and then all of a sudden people will start whistling and cheering and clapping as people are being baptized. Some people will do backflips off the seats of their chairs. No, they won't. No, they won't. But it's a celebration, but it's a celebration of what God has done and steps they've taken. So together, let's celebrate these being baptized.